Today, markets wrestle with alternative realities as peace talks hoped belie the incoming economic storm. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, across the Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Whilst these shows tend to get less views and likes compared to some of our others, they remain the most critical to me as it helps to grasp what is really going on in the markets around the world. While the US and Iran are preparing for negotiations in Pakistan to end hostilities, both sides continued with their rhetoric. President Donald Trump said in a social media post that Iran has no cards to play, and he told the New York Post that the US was ready to resume attacks if necessary. Iranian officials set two specific preconditions for the start of talks, a ceasefire in Lebanon and the unfreezing of Iranian assets. The fragile two-week truce has been threatened by claimed violations of the ceasefire. Those include Israel's continued bombardment of Lebanon, even as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he was seeking direct talks with Beirut. So Israel appears to be casting a long shadow over the talks. US Vice President J.D. Vance has said that he thinks the negotiations are going to be positive, adding prior to departing for talks in Pakistan that Washington is willing to extend the open hand to Tehran. All the while, tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz is still near a virtual standstill, with shipping through the narrow waterway off Iran's southern coast well below 10% of normal volumes. Despite the ceasefire, Iran, whose chokehold on the strait has threatened the flow of around a fifth of the world's oil, has told vessels that they must keep to its territorial waters while making any sailings. See my earlier post. Several Asian countries are heavy importers of crude products which traverse the strait, while Europe uses natural gas from Persian Gulf nations, which has been targeted by Iranian attacks. Jet fuel is going to be in short supply very soon too, so the world economy is still overwhelmingly powered by oil and it's being strangled. The truth is, though, that the damage to economies around the world have already been done, even if the creeping hand of stagflation is yet to show its hand. With oil, LNG, fertilizers, plastics, sulfur, and helium supply all being choked off. And even if by magic the Straits of Hormuz fully opened immediately, the damage is already done and it's going to be felt for months and years. As investors position for the weekend, though, markets tend to have a tilt to the upside and for the longer term, and they tend to ignore the obvious until they don't. Amid the discouraging war headlines and downbeat US economic data. As a result, and on hopes of a breakthrough in Islamabad, the global MSCI index is up more than 4% for the week. The Stock 600 in Europe rose more than 3%, and the All Asia ex Japan rose more than 6.75%. That's the biggest advance there since November 2022. The ASX 200 played along too, up more than 4% for the week. And oil was down, with Brent futures to 94.26 over the week, down 13%, while LNG futures were also down by a similar amount, on hopes that supply will resume sometime soon. But of course, those are still significantly above pre-war levels. In the US, the S&P 500 closed modestly lower in New York, snapping a seven-day winning streak, with the S&P 500 just down a little and the Dow down 0.6%. Tech shares, however, helped the NASDAQ composite to rise 0.4%, but on a weekly basis, all three indices scored their largest Friday-to-Friday percentage gains since November, with the S&P 500 up 3.6%, the Dow 3%, and the NASDAQ 4.7%. Chipmakers took the lead, touching a record high. Broadcom and Nvidia advanced 4.7% and 2.6% respectively. The US-listed shares of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, the world's largest contract chipmaker, rose 1.4%, after it beat first quarter revenue forecasts, and the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index rose 2.3%. Amazon was up 2%, and shares of CoreWeave ended nearly 11% higher after Anthropic agreed to rent data center capacity from the company as part of its efforts to handle increasing demand for its artificial intelligence services. Palantir Technologies garnered some attention on Friday after Trump mentioned the company in a social media post. The VIX eased back below 20, but financial stocks underperformed, albeit modestly, before the major US banks kick off their reporting season next week. Analysts say the S&P 500 could report earnings growth of 19% for the first quarter, which would be the highest growth rate reported by the index since the fourth quarter of 2021. But that is all very rearview mirror stuff and is subject to what happens in the Middle East. The latest economic data from the US revealed a 21.2% jump in petrol prices, the largest since the government started consistently tracking the series in 1967, actually accounted for nearly three quarters of the increase in the consumer price index in March. The index jumped 0.9%, according to the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics, the largest increase since June 2022. And in the 12 months through to March, the CPI advanced 3.3% after rising 2.4% in February. Core CPI, which strips out food and energy, was cooler than analysts anticipate, 2.6% year on year and 0.2% month on month. But the shock from spiking crude prices is likely to be felt more acutely in the coming months as it ripples through to other parts of the economy. On Thursday, San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly said the oil shock from the Iran war would extend the timeline on bringing inflation back to the US central bank's 2% target. And the Fed's preferred gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, was already running hot before the war, according to data released on Thursday. And separately, the University of Michigan said its preliminary April sentiment index slumped to a record low 47.6 from 53.3 in March. The latest survey also showed that consumers expect prices to rise at an annual rate of 4.8% over the next year. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against the basket of currencies, fell 0.2% to 98.68, closing out its biggest decline since January. The euro rose 0.25% to 1.1725, and the dollar gained 0.2% against the Japanese yen to 159.3. US Treasury yields edged slightly higher. The benchmark 10-year note rose to 4.316%, while the 30-year bond rose to 4.910%. The 2-year note, which typically moves in step with interest expectations for the Federal Reserve, was at 3.799%, actually off from recent highs. Gold prices dipped on Friday but saw a weekly gain as the yellow metal continued to make a comeback following deep losses in March, driven by the Middle East conflict. Gold futures were up 2% across the week. Gold's typical safe haven status has been taken over by the dollar during the ongoing conflict, further denting bullion's appeal by making the yellow metal more expensive to overseas buyers. European stocks were mostly higher on Friday, following the Israeli Prime Minister's suggestion that he was looking to engage in talks in Lebanon. Meanwhile, a Bloomberg News report in which Ukraine's top negotiator said he was seeing progress towards a possible peace deal with Russia has also buoyed sentiment. European construction stocks were bolstered as analysts looked ahead to potential reconstruction in Ukraine, with Buzzi, Holcim, and Heidelberg Materials all up. Defence and aerospace stocks, though, which have benefited from a war-fueled outlook for increased military spending in Europe, fell, with Rheinmetall and Leonardo both slipping by more than 5%. The pan-European stock 600 gained 0.4%, the DAX in Germany climbed 0.2%, and the FTSE in London was flat, while the CAC 40 in France rose by 0.2%. Elsewhere, in individual corporate names, French food caterer Sodexo slashed its annual sales and profit targets, while UK electronics seller 8O World predicts the annual income will be at the top end of its forecast range. Shares of Unite Group rose after reporting first quarter lettings broadly in line with guidance, with Morgan Stanley maintaining its rating and a 6.75 price target. Repsol shares fell over 5% after a weaker than expected first quarter update despite elevated oil prices, and Pernod Ricard and Carlsberg were among European alcoholic makers seeking relief from India's 10% import duty on glass bottles and cans, warning of supply shortages amid input costs rising and linked to the Middle East conflict. Pre-war wages for interest rate cuts this year in places like the US, Britain, and oil-rich Norway have gone by the board and won't return, investors say. Some argue the ceasefire may even tilt risk towards higher rates as the likelihood has lessened of severe oil shortages slowing global growth. The energy shock has thrown inflation into sharp relief, highlighting how major economies have not managed to get inflation back to target for years. The results have been a reckoning for bond investors. The FTSE World Government Bond Index slid by more than 3% in March. That's the sharpest monthly drop in 1.5 years. And on Wednesday, policymakers in India and New Zealand left key policy rates unchanged at 5.25% and 2.25% respectively, but laid the groundwork for the next moves to be hikes. The balance of risks have shifted, and there are likely to be differences between the near term and medium term, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand said in a statement explaining its decision. Treasuries and bond markets in Europe, Britain, and Australia also rallied strongly, although yields only fell back to mid-March levels. The path to high rates also looks clearer in Japan, with the ceasefire easing some of the worries over the supply of Gulf energy, on which the East Asian economy depends. The Bank of Japan was totally willing to raise rates without this Middle East uncertainty, and now this ceasefire will give a good reason for them to go ahead and raise rates in April, said the chief strategist at Nomura Securities in Tokyo. Even for China, which has long struggled with deflation, global investment banks are removing earlier calls for rate cuts this year. To be sure, there is room for bonds to rally, particularly because selling was so heavy in March and positioning was aggressive in applying a series of rate hikes in Europe and Britain. As India's central bank governor Sanjay Mahatra put it on Wednesday, risks are on the upside. That said, most Asian stocks rose on Friday amid cautious optimism ahead of ceasefire talks between Iran and the US, with regional exchanges also headed for a strong weekly performance. Chinese stocks were among the better performers of the day, even as inflation data for March painted a mixed picture of Asia's largest economy. South Korea's KOSPI was the best performer for the day, rising 1.9%, as local technology stocks also caught bids. Local markets showed little reaction to the Bank of Korea leaving interest rates unchanged at 2.5%. The KOSPI was the best performing Asian market this week and was headed for around a 10% jump. This was also in part due to outsized bargain buying after the KOSPI logged deep losses back in March. Japan's Nikkei 225 jumped 1.5% on Friday, headed for a 7% weekly gain, but the TOPIX was flat after days showed a bigger than expected increase in Japanese producer inflation in March, stoking fears of energy-driven inflation and interest rate hikes by the Bank of Japan. Fast retailing was the best performer on the Nikkei on Friday after the Uniqlo owner clocked positive earnings and hiked its profit forecast for the fiscal year. A surge in benchmark Japanese government bond yields to a near three-decade high was also helping to attract something right, 2.46 trillion yen in foreign inflows into local long-term bonds over the week. India's Nifty 50 index was up about 5% across the week, although foreign investors there are retreating from Indian stocks at the fastest rate on record, as the protracted energy crisis stemming from the US-Iran conflict threatens to derail the world's fastest-growing major economy. In just over 3 months, foreign institutional investors have offloaded a staggering $18.84 billion worth in local shares, officially eclipsing the previous full-year record set in 2025. The mass exodus highlights a widening narrative gap between India and its North Asian peers. India's $4.8 trillion equity market remains highly sensitive to oil prices and also rupee volatility. Global capital is increasingly rotating towards AI-linked economies like South Korea and Taiwan. Analysts note that as geopolitical tensions simmer, investors are prioritizing markets driven by semiconductor demand, a catalyst largely absent from the Indian equity landscape. The divergence is stark. South Korea and Taiwan have seen combined inflows of around $9 billion so far this month, following a temporary ceasefire, while India has faced an additional $3 billion in outflows. Foreign funds outflowing suggests that even as Middle East tensions fluctuate, the lack of a clear AI or tech hardware driver is leaving Indian indices bruised, with over $600 billion in market value wiped out since last year's peak. Despite the retreat, though, India's domestic retailer and institutional investors remain a pillar of support. Local mutual funds have injected $31 billion into the market this year, buoyed by record participation in monthly systemic investment plans, the SIPs. However, the domestic cushion has proved insufficient to stop the Nifty 50 from sliding 8% year to date. And Bank of America Securities note this week that even after the recent correction, the Nifty 50 remains expensive compared to emerging market rivals. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices rose 1.2 and 0.7% respectively. The two were also trading up between 3 and 4% across the week, and the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong also rose. China's CPI inflation shrank in March from the prior month, according to data released on Friday. The print indicated that a boost to consumer spending during the Lunar New Year holiday did not extend beyond February. But Chinese producer price index inflation rose more than expected in March, indicating that higher oil prices were spurring some factory gate inflation in the country. And while Friday's data still showed China struggling with deflation, the PPI print pointed to some improvement. Australian shares notched their biggest weekly gain since 2022 as a fragile ceasefire broke between the US and Iran lifted risk appetites, with investors now turning to weekend talks between the countries for direction. The S&P 500 rose 4.4% for the week. That's the strongest since October 2022 and a third consecutive week of gains, supported by a broad rally that included the 2.6% surge on Wednesday. That's the largest one-day gain in a year. The benchmark faded into the close on Friday, falling 0.1% to 8,160.6, with 8 of the 11 sectors lower as traders paired risk ahead of the US-Iran talks in Pakistan. Technology stocks led declines, tracking weakness in the US, with Wise Tech Global down 2.6% to $37.63 and Zero by 2.7% to $71.46. Life360 fell 3.3% to $19.48 after flagging job cuts as it reshapes for an AI-led strategy. Miners were lower, with Fortescue down 1.3% to $20.26, as it accelerated plans to remove fossil fuels from parts of its Pilbara operations, while BHP lost 1.1% to $53.98, and Rio Tinto 0.3% to $171.23. Energy stocks weakened as easing geopolitical risks weighed on coal, with Whitehaven Coal down 3.2% to $8.12, and New Hope by 2.6% to $5.18. Santos fell 0.6% to $7.90 and Woodside Energy 0.2% to $30.28 as Brent crude prices rose. Real estate outperformed, with Vicinity Centres up 3.2% to $2.56, while financials were firmer as most of the major banks rose, with Commonwealth Bank up 0.5% to $183.38. Actually, banks were up across the week, with CBA up more than 6%, along with ANZ, with Westpac up more than 7% and NAB up more than 8.5%, despite the revelations of more fraudulent mortgage loans, see my recent post, which are now estimated to be more than $3 billion. In company news, Magellan Financial gained 1.2% to $9.45 after 92.28% of shareholders voted in favour of the $1.6 billion merger with Barrenjoey. Telex Pharmaceuticals was the market leader, jumping 7.3% to $14.64, after the US regulator accepted its resubmitted application for a brain cancer imaging product. Viva Energy gained 0.4% to $2.51. On Friday, it received environmental approval from the government for its proposed LNG import terminal in Geelong. Yes, import terminal, can you believe it? AMP added 4.2% to $1.36 after Chief Executive Blair Vernon said the group would prioritize growth in its wealth division, expanding its use of artificial intelligence, and will also tighten capital allocation. The Aussie was at 70.62 US cents and 52.46 UK pence, and the two-year bond was at 4.713, yes, higher interest rates ahead. Bitcoin pushed towards the 73,000 US level, buoyed by a significant return of institutional appetite and a sharp risk-on shift in global markets. The digital asset has found fresh momentum after a temporary ceasefire in the US-Iran conflict collapsed crude oil prices, effectively repricing inflation expectations and clearing a path for potential Federal Reserve easing, maybe. After a brief period of stagflation, spot Bitcoin ETFs recorded the massive $358 million in net inflows just on Wednesday, a trend that analysts suggest has carried through the rest of the week. The resurgence in demand was led by BlackRock's iBit and the newly launched Morgan Stanley Bitcoin Trust, which saw $34 million in day one inflows earlier in the week. Institutional reloading on Bitcoin follows two consecutive days of outflows and indicates a strategic pivot by fund managers who are increasingly viewing Bitcoin as a high beta play on a stabilizing macro environment. Well, maybe. Bitcoin's price action has also been fueled by a massive short squeeze in the derivatives market. Data show that the recent move above 71,000 US triggered over $427 million in forced liquidations of bearish positions. An estimated $6 billion in additional leverage shorts, clustered between 73,500 and 75,000 US, which means that traders are bracing for a potential liquidation cascade that could catapult the cryptocurrency towards a new 52-week high if the current support levels hold. Bitcoin's 85% correlation with the Nasdaq 100 has been on full display, actually, as oil price volatility receded. As WTI crude prices retreated from their January highs of near $112 a barrel, the resulting drop in energy costs has shifted rate cut probabilities back in favor of more dovish central banks. Again, maybe, but as I discussed earlier, there's more to understand than that to really understand what's going on here. While long-term halving cycles have faced scrutiny this year, the current rally appears to be driven by a muted bull market narrative. The adoption of Bitcoin as a strategic reserve asset. On-chain data reveals that whales wallets holding more than 10,000 Bitcoins have seen net inflows for only the second week in 2026. And the trend suggests that while retail sentiment remains cautious, large-scale accumulators are positioning for a breakout. So should the Islamabad peace talks provide a lasting geopolitical off-ramp, analysts expect a supply squeeze could redefine the 80,000 US range as a new baseline for the second half of the year. Well, we'll see about that, shall we? Well, number two, crypto Ether rose 2.01% to 2,244, while XRP added 0.26% to 1.3463. Now ahead, we'll wait the outcomes, if any, from the talks in Pakistan, while in Australia, a key focus will be Thursday's release of the March employment data. NAB says it expects the employment rate to hold at 4.3%, with employment growth of around 25,000. Earlier in the week, the NAB business survey, coming out on Tuesday, alongside Westpac's consumer sentiment data, will be important to see. The 2026 spring meeting of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank Group in Washington is being held over the next week, and two RBA deputy governors, Andrew Horsa and Sarah Hunter, will be in the US. Plus, the March quarter US reporting season kicks off on Monday with Goldman Sachs, and also reporting next week will be JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, BlackRock, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and also various people on the tech front, including ASML, TSMC, and even Netflix. But given the damage to the world economy wrought by the US and Israeli action in Iran, and the foreseeable fallout in terms of global supply shocks yet to fully appear, we must expect more pressure on volatile markets. We are certainly not out of the woods yet, so here be bears. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Hey, thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.